Soon after their hasty wedding, Oppie and Kitty rented a large house at 10 Kenilworth Court, north of the campus. After selling his aging Chrysler coupe, he presented his bride with a new Cadillac. They nicknamed it Bombsight. Kitty persuaded her husband to dress in a style more suited to his station in life, and so he began for the first time to wear tweed jackets and more expensive suits. But he kept his brown pork pie hat. "A certain stuffiness overcame me," he later confessed of married life. At this point in their marriage, Kitty was an excellent cook, and so they entertained frequently, inviting close friends like the Serbers, the Chevaliers, and other Berkeley colleagues. Their liquor cabinet was always well-stocked. One evening, Maggie Nelson recalled a discussion in which Kitty confessed that their bill for liquor was even higher than their bill for food. One evening, early in 1941, John Edsel, Robert's friend from his Harvard and Cambridge years, dropped by for dinner. Now a professor of chemistry, Edsel hadn't seen Robert in over a decade. He was startled by the change. The introspective boy he had known in Cambridge and Corsica was now a figure of commanding personality. "I felt that he obviously was a far stronger person," Edsel recalled, "that the inner crises that he had been through in those earlier years he had obviously worked out and achieved a great deal of inner resolution of them. I felt a sense of confidence and authority, although still tension and a lack of inner ease in some respects. He could reach and see intuitively things that most people would be able to follow only very slowly and hesitatingly, if at all. This was not only in physics, but in other things as well." By then, Robert was about to become a father. Their child was born on May 12, 1941, in Pasadena, where Oppenheimer was on his regular spring teaching schedule at Caltech. They christened the boy Peter, but Robert impishly nicknamed him Pronto. Kitty told some of her friends, tongue-in-cheek, that the 8-pound baby was premature. It had been a difficult pregnancy for Kitty, and that spring Oppenheimer himself was suffering from a case of infectious mononucleosis. By June, however, they had both recovered their health enough to invite the Chevaliers to visit them. They arrived in mid-June and spent a week catching up with their old friends. Hoken had recently befriended the surrealist artist Salvador Dali and spent the days sitting in Oppie's garden working on a translation of Dali's book, The Secret Life of Salvador Dali. A few weeks later, Oppie and Kitty approached the Chevaliers to ask an enormous favor. "Kitty badly needed a rest," Robert explained. "Would the Chevaliers take 2-month-old Peter along with his German nanny while he and Kitty escaped to Pedrocaliente for a month?" Hoken saw the request as a confirmation of his own feeling that Oppie was his closest, most intimate friend. Deeply flattered, the Chevaliers promptly agreed and kept Peter for not 1, but 2 full months, until Kitty and Oppenheimer returned for the fall semester. This rather unusual arrangement, however, may have had long-term consequences for mother and child. Kitty never properly bonded with Peter. Even a year later, friends noticed that it was always Robert who took them into the baby's room and showed him off with obvious pride and delight. "Kitty seemed quite uninterested," said this old friend. Robert felt reinvigorated almost as soon as he arrived at Pedrocaliente. The first week he and Kitty found the energy to nail new shingles on the cabin's roof. They went for long rides in the mountains. One day, Kitty showed her spunk by cantering her horse in a meadow while standing up in the saddle. Robert was pleased when in late July he ran into his old friend Hans Bethe, the Cornell physicist he had first met in Göttingen, and persuaded him to visit them at the ranch. Unfortunately, soon afterwards, Robert was trampled by a horse he was trying to corral for Bethe to ride and had to have x-rays taken at the hospital in Santa Fe. In more ways than one, it was a memorable visit. Upon their return, the Oppenheimers retrieved baby Peter and moved into a newly purchased home at No. 1 Eagle Hill in the hills overlooking Berkeley. Earlier that summer, Robert had briskly toured the house once and then immediately agreed to pay the full asking price of $22,500 plus another $5,300 for 2 adjoining lots. A Spanish-style one-story villa with whitewashed walls and a red-tiled roof, their new home stood on a knoll surrounded on 3 sides by a steep wooded canyon. They had a stunning view of the sunset over the Golden Gate Bridge. The large living room had redwood floors, 12-foot-high beamed ceilings, and windows on 3 sides. An image of a ferocious lion was carved into a massive stone fireplace. Floor-to-ceiling bookcases lined each end of the living room. French doors opened onto a lovely garden framed by live oak trees. The house came with a well-equipped kitchen and a separate apartment over the garage for guests. It was already partially furnished, and Barbara Chevalier helped Kitty with some of the interior decorating. Everyone thought it a charming, well-designed structure. Oppenheimer called it home for nearly a decade.